Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend, how are you? Great to have you with us. Wednesday edition, we're to preview the Stanley Cup playoff tonight between the Penguins and the Rangers with Josh Getzlaf from the Penguins Network. We're also going to talk to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. Talk to him about satellite camps, spring ball. Now, tomorrow we have the Phillies, the businessman special coming up. We've got that. And then we're back with you on Friday. And when we return on Friday, we are going to have Bob Flounders from the Patriot News and PennLive.com. So we are lined up and set to go. The satellite camp issue is interesting because this is a case where I'll tell you what's confusing to me about the satellite camp issue is that the secondary conferences, you know, that next group of five, join the SEC in voting no on this thing. I don't get it. You would think satellite camps would benefit them, too. Because some of these camps were going to be done in conjunction with other schools. And I don't see where voting no on this helped them at all. Also, here's what bothers me about the satellite camp issue, above all. And that is, I thought that the NCAA was all about the student-athlete. I watched the NCAA basketball tournament. I saw the commercials. I mean, what are they about here? Look, I'm not sitting here saying the way Jim Harbaugh's handled this is right. And this is not the IMG issue. That's a separate issue coming up. Yeah, it's probably going to be taken care of in January. But James Franklin did a satellite camp down in Georgia. Well, Blake Gilligan, who's going to be the punter probably, you know, he's going to battle for the punting job. I mean, that's part of the beneficiary of this. Well, how much does it help that a student, a prospective student athlete, can have a camp in his area and go to instead of having to travel hundreds of miles? I don't see the issue. Except it's obviously a territorial problem. Now, my problem with the IMG thing, which is separate, is that I realize that I'm not too concerned about the spring break part of it. That doesn't bother me at all. And to me, it's just that they didn't miss any classes. I mean, that to me is the importance of spring break. The players give up. Look, you're on a scholarship. You're playing for a team. You're not getting a stipend. Your meals are taken care of. Your room and board's taken care of. Your tuition's taken care of, and so forth. So, student-athletes do, let's say football players, yeah, they sacrifice their Thanksgiving for 4 or possibly 5 years. Yeah, they sacrifice around the holidays, New Year's and so forth. Yeah, you know. So now in this case, they're asked to sacrifice their spring break. Yeah, okay. But I'm okay with that. That doesn't, you know, there's a lot of things that they get for their hard work, obviously. But what bothered me about the IMG thing is, not that it's at IMG, but to me it's just a waste of money. And that one is an advantage. I mean, although Rutgers, I guess Rutgers was talking about partnering with Arkansas and some stuff. And I think it was on a satellite camp. But monetarily, Michigan can do it. In reality, can Indiana? Can Minnesota do it? Not really. Because it's not a free trip to Florida. You have to fly everybody down there. Okay, charter costs money. You have to get buses. Buses cost money. You need housing. Housing costs money. Now, the food part is that's a scratch right there, because you're going to have to feed them on campus and there, so it doesn't really matter. But it's expensive to do what they did. Not everybody can afford to do it. So that's more, to me, an issue of the haves versus the have-nots. That's where I come down on that issue. Satellite camps. The SEC, if the satellite camps were taking place in California and weren't in the South, I don't think this would be an issue. But the SEC did not want somebody coming into their natural recruiting territory and having camps. Okay. That's what it comes down to. And they got away with it. No, I'm not big on that decision at all. I don't see where that benefits the prospective student athlete. What, in order to consider Penn State now and go to their camp, you've got to drive or fly hundreds of miles to do it, when it could be 2 hours away in a drive? Really? Really? I mean, who's the benefit? Yeah, does it benefit James Franklin going down to Georgia? Yeah, of course it does. There's a potential benefit for Penn State recruiting-wise, no doubt. But does it benefit the student-athlete, the prospective student-athlete? Absolutely. It puts camps in their area. And I'm telling you, we've been told repeatedly that the NCAA is all about the student-athlete. After all, everyone's going pro in something. It just may not be basketball. See, I listen to the commercials. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time.
Even at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the Spring Cleanup Sales Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC has 95 new Kias all clean-out priced.
Just listen.
A 2015 Rio LX. SMC has 4 clean-up priced at $13,999.
2015 Optima LXs. Clean-up priced starting at only $18,999.
And there's 3 2016 Sportage LXs
starting at just $19,999.
Plus, Sunbury Motors Kia has 0% financing available for up to 66 months on these vehicles. And all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
It's Spring Cleanup. Clean up sales event
going on now at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
SMC,
selling more cars, satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Tax and tax access, special financing to all qualified customers through CAM at warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Lynn Swan is leaving Jack Ham's neighborhood in Sewickley. He's become the athletic director at USC. He replaces Pat Hayden there. We talked about Will Smith, the former New Orleans Saints defensive lineman who was the captain, one of the captains of the Super Bowl winning team. He was shot 8 times, 7 times in the back. Unbelievable. He was shot 8 times, 7 times in the back. Unreal. I mean, that's just stunning. New Orleans has been averaging, unfortunately, a murder a day. And wow. Oh, boy. That's really a... It's just stunning. The whole thing is stunning. And,
His wife was with him at the time of the incident. She got hit as well.
She got shot.
Yeah.
She got shot twice in the leg.
Yes, they were sitting at a red light and got rear-ended in the back, and it was that guy in the back in the other car that aimed in front. Just an absolute shame. Wrong place, wrong time. Just a terrible shame.
The lawyer for the man who was in Hayes' SUV said the killing was justifiable homicide. The statement from the attorney on behalf of the passenger, Kevin O'Neill. O'Neill says he believes his life was actually saved by Hayes because, in his attorney's words, Will Smith had a gun and was going to shoot it. And police did confirm that a loaded gun was found in Smith's vehicle after the shooting. The whole thing is insane. It is absolutely insane.
Getting the information about a gun in Will Smith's car, that definitely adds a little bit of a twist to this, for sure.
Sure, I mean, but the whole thing's insane.
It is. Senseless.
I think it speaks for itself. I don't think I got to keep saying insane over and over again because it is what it is. 6:35 tonight, we have the Phillies back in action. They've got the Padres coming up this evening. So we're looking forward to that. And with Businessman Special tomorrow for the Phillies. And that will be, let me see here. I think that's one of the last times for a while that we're out. Because all I know is that because of the Phillies schedule, Sean's handicap has gone from 16 to 11.
So, where you found that on the net, I have no clue.
I have sources. Let's see. Yeah, we got the 6:35 tonight, the Padres, then 12:35 tomorrow. And then we are not knocked out again until the 28th. When they play the Nationals. So I know we've had this run here early, you know, with the weather being the way it is, plus the Businessman Specials, they try to throw those in there. And a lot of these are Thursdays. In the month of May, we're knocked out, what, 3 times? That's it.
Yeah.
The entire month. 3 times the whole month in the month of May. No big deal. Same thing in June. I think June's about the same thing. I think we're knocked out just a couple times the entire month. So, yeah, I guess. You know, a lot of these are getaway day. Thursday with the Twins, you know, things like that.
Yeah, Phil's getting a good shutout win last night over San Diego. Charlie Morton pitched well.
Yeah, he did. He did pitch well, and that's what he's capable of doing. I mean, you know, if Charlie Morton avoids he has always been a pitcher. His problem has been avoiding the one bad inning. If he avoids the one bad inning, he's effective. Now, he's the kind of guy that's cruising along, hey, through three, he's faced a minimum of 9 hitters. And then all of a sudden, the fourth inning, he faces the maximum 9 hitters. I mean, so that's been his MO over the years. He just can't avoid the bad inning in games that he loses. Well, last night he pitched really well. He didn't have a bad inning. He pitched really, really well last night. And I think that's know, that's something a Philly fan's going to be excited about.
Now Jared Eichhoff going for the Phillies tonight, only had two starts during spring training, then got hurt, and he'll be opposed to Colin Ray tonight for the Padres.
Yeah. So that's coming at that. Look, my interest is in this whole thing is going to be, when do they decide to load up and start moving the kids up? Part of this is going to be player development at Reading and at Lehigh Valley. Part of this is going to be contractual. You know, Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper, Gregory Polanco, those are all guys that were brought up later by clubs because they wanted to make sure that on the arbitration clock and the length of contract clock that the club benefited long term. That will enter into the Phillies' decisions as to how they bring players up and into the system. Now, they already have Aaron Nola in place. He's going to be outstanding, I think. I think he's just going to be really good, long period of time. But they already have Franco up, like him a lot. They already have, I've already talked about Cesar Hernandez, like him a lot. Herrera, I'm still waiting to see on him. Ryan Howard, this is the swan song here. If I'm Freddie Galvis, I start hitting. Advice to Freddie, start hitting. There are guys in the organization that can hit. You had the nice two-run homer on opening day. My advice to you, start hitting. And you know, Hellickson hasn't been that bad in his two starts. You know that? He's been all right. But Nola, I'm big on Nola. Two starts, fewer hits than innings pitched, always a key I look for right away. And I always look out for strikeout to walk ratio. How about 17 to nothing? Same thing with Hellickson, 11 strikeouts to one walk so far. Those are things I look for, some basics. Those aren't analytics, but those are basics I look for. Innings pitched to hits. Strikeouts to walk.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And by the way, we'd like to remind you to sign up for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament May 4th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We want the afternoon and the morning flights filled because it benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So join us. We'll be in the morning flight. And then we'll have the show out there at the Country Club.
3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Man, getting quick.
Yes. Sean will be out there signing autographs. I think Kevin may actually make an appearance here at some point, won't he?
I heard that was a done deal. If the paperwork went through.
Well, I mean, up with him, we have to now go through his agent.
Right.
The agent also handles all the restraining orders. All right, so let's get to this day in sports history. The great Hank Aaron debuted with the Milwaukee Braves on this date in 1954. The Celtics won their first NBA championship. They beat the St. Louis Hawks 125-123 in Game 7. No surprise, the Celtics won in Game 7. Bill Russell, in his college, Olympic, and pro career, was 21-0 in do-or-die games. 21-0. 1963, the Mets played their first home game. They played at the Polo Grounds in 1963 as well. Pete Rose of the Reds got his first major league hit, first of 4,291. 1972, Major League owners and players agreed not to make up games lost to the players' strike. It was the first strike in the history of Major League Baseball. Players walked off the field for 13 days. It ended up costing one team, and that one team was the Red Sox. They played one fewer game than the Tigers, and the Tigers won the division. Because while being even in the loss column, the Tigers had one more win. They won by a half game. 1979, the world's longest doubles ping pong match ended after 101 hours. 30 years ago today, in one of the great moments in golf, Jack Nicklaus charges down the back nine at Augusta National, and at the age of 46, he wins his sixth Masters, his 18th major championship. History in 1997, when Tiger Woods becomes the youngest and the first African-American to win the Masters at the age of 21. He also finished at 18 under par, tournament record score 270, since equaled by Jordan Spieth a year ago. 2002, Barry Bonds hit his 574th career home run. He moved past Harmon Killebrew into sixth place on the all-time list. 2003, Mike Weir became the first Canadian player to win the Masters. And in 2009, the New York Mets opened the season at their brand-new stadium, Citi Field. The Stanley Cup playoffs get underway tonight. The Flyers do not open up until tomorrow night when they take on the Washington Capitals. Tonight, though, maybe the most intriguing opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is the Rangers and Penguins series that will open at Consol Energy at 8. And Josh Getzlaf with the Penguins Network joins us. Josh, you know, they were able to get to the Rangers a bit this year. And when they played at Consol, they did something I didn't think anybody could do. They got under the skin of Henrik Lundqvist. How did they do it?
Interesting, and the Penguins have been kind of preaching it as far as this whole series is concerned, is their approach in the offensive end to get pucks in the net, to get bodies in front of him, get those kind of dirty and greasy goals. Like you saw the last couple times they played the Rangers, a lot of redirections. Shots that have come from distance that have been tipped in past Lundqvist that he hasn't seen with a bunch of bodies in front of him. Matt Cullen scored a goal one of the two games they played at Madison Square Garden where he was actually behind the goal line and just fired the puck towards the net. It hit off Lundqvist and went in. That's the kind of stuff when he has no real control over stopping it that will get him frustrated, get him a little off his game. And you know he plays so deep in his net anyway that it's hard for him if there are a lot of bodies in front to necessarily see the puck. And the Penguins, I think, are going to make that a goal of theirs to not only exploit the Rangers' maybe a little bit slowness on the back end with their overall team speed, but also to make things difficult in front of Henrik Lundqvist. And the same thing will happen at the other end with the Rangers doing that to Marc-Andre Fleury or whoever is in net for the Penguins tonight and moving forward. But that will definitely be something to watch throughout this series for sure.
You mentioned that down and dirty goal. There are times, especially early in his career, where Sidney Crosby showed that. And then after a couple of concussions, it didn't seem like he showed that. It seems like, to me, he's returned to playing that kind of game from early in his career. Accurate or not?
I think that's very accurate. I actually think it's pretty funny because we've been talking about it here that he seems to play better in that grinder role almost.
Yes.
And he's a first-liner, obviously, all-world player, best player in the world. I don't think there's any debate on that fact. But he's better doing those kind of puck battle situations and coming out into the corners and playing on the wall and working towards the front of the net. You're right. I mean, you see him kind of excel in that situation. And when he plays with guys like Chris Kunitz and Patrick Hornquist, who really that's their MO, he seems to excel better than as we saw in the beginning of the year when he was with a guy like Phil Kessel, who's not really known for that, but more known for his scoring touch. And I think he has rediscovered that part of his game. And this year, I mean, this second half of the season for him has been unbelievable to watch here. There was a point going into, I think it was the game a couple weekends ago in Detroit, where he had gotten a point in, I may be wrong on this, but I think it was 19 of 21 straight games. I mean, he was just rolling along here. And as the Penguins went, so does he. And we know that to be the case, obviously, over the last however many years. So he's been huge for the Penguins this season. And definitely, I agree with you. It seems to fit well in that kind of muckier role than kind of dazzling on the ice, so to speak.
You mentioned briefly in the first answer about, you know, whether it's Fleury or Murray tonight. Let's get to Murray for a moment, because with Fleury, we don't know about the concussion protocol and where he is with this. No, I mean, nobody knows. But right. How well has Murray played for them? I mean, what have you liked about him?
With Matt Murray?
Yeah.
I think that he's been really impressive. This was a guy, I think, when he came up and was recalled the first time around when Marc-Andre Fleury had a concussion. He was very well hyped. I mean, he'd won the AHL Rookie of the Year. He'd won the best goaltender in the AHL. And a lot of people knew that he had a lot of potential to be a pretty special goaltender at the highest level. But I think there was just that, how will he respond once he's finally in that level? And then you watch what happened when he came up. I think it was late December. He made a few starts for the Penguins as they were kind of trying to find their footing under Mike Sullivan. And he was exceptional. He didn't get a whole lot of support his first couple of starts. I think his first ever NHL start was a 2-1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, but the Penguins took three penalties in the first period and basically were playing behind the eight ball and, of course, still finding their way under Mike Sullivan. So he was in a tough spot. The Penguins were in a tough spot there, but he has been extremely impressive. And I think, Steve, the one thing that I take away from him, having spoken to him on numerous occasions in the room and all that kind of stuff, he's 21 years old, but you would have no idea he was 21 if you heard him talk or you were around him. He gives off the vibe that he's been playing this game at the highest level for 15 years and that he's had a lot of success doing it. And he has had a ton of success. I think a lot more success is in his future because at the trade deadline, there were a lot of teams, as we've read and heard about, calling about him, with Marc-Andre Fleury being obviously the man in net for the Penguins. Mm-hmm. And the Pens had zero interest in getting rid of him because they know how special of a player he's going to be. And I think he's certainly lived up to the billing in the little bit we've seen of him this season.
How committed have the defensemen and the forwards in front of whomever's in goal, how committed have they been in their own zone defensively to make this thing work?
I think they've been exceptional, and it's actually funny. I was in the Rangers locker room today and talked to Derek Brassard a little bit about just the Penguins defensemen in general, because as you'll remember last year when these two teams matched up, the Pens didn't have Chris Letang,
No. And
they didn't have Ole Matta. And I mean, you take those two guys out of the blue line, good luck. And now this year you have them both back. You have Trevor Daley as part of the equation who wasn't here last year. And he said to me, I think when you look at their blue line, it's almost extremely underrated because everyone thinks Letang, but you have Daley and Brian Dumoulin's emerged as a really, really solid defenseman. He's only 24 years old, and he obviously has the size to kind of combat a lot of guys around the net and in the corners and whatnot in the defensive end. And one guy that I always tell fans to watch is just how he's kind of evolved under Mike Sullivan is Ian Cole, because when Mike Sullivan first took this team over, Ian Cole played a few games and then was a healthy scratch for a month, basically. Mm-hmm. And Mike Sullivan was very straightforward with him and kind of telling him what he wanted out of his game. We've never actually heard what those conversations were for obvious reasons. But when you watch Ian Cole's game, it's clearly obvious that Mike Sullivan was asking him to play a more physical game, a more defensive game, to be dependable and responsible on his own end and making smart decisions with the puck. And it's been a transformation. I mean, he went from a guy that I think a lot of people assumed would be the first man out when all the defensemen were healthy, mm-hmm, to now being a lock to be in the top six. And he'll be in the lineup tonight with Justin Schultz on that third pair.
You mentioned, we've talked about goal, we've talked about the defensive part and the commitment to it, and you talked about the ability to do some of the dirty work. What has Hagelin's speed meant to allow the Penguins to beat you in a multitude of ways?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's been a multitude of ways with him since he's come on board. And I've never seen one player change everything as far as coming on board midway through the season, but I think that's happened with Carl Hagelin, because everyone's talked about the line that he's been on with Nick Bonino and Phil Kessel really finding their groove, and those three have been exceptional together, mainly because Hagelin and Kessel have the speed on the wings, and Bonino's just a great pivot in the middle and knows that if he gets the puck up, chances are good things are going to happen. And I think when you look at a guy like Carl Hagelin, obviously speed's his M.O., penalty killing's his M.O., probably needs to work on his scoring touch a little bit more because he's had opportunities to score even more so, to get picky if you want to about everything. But it's been impressive to watch him because he obviously brings that whole speed element to his game, and the Penguins have been trying to build that identity themselves here this real second half under Mike Sullivan, basically since December when Sullivan took over. He wanted more speed in his game, and Hagelin was a guy that he knew from coaching him with the New York Rangers. And obviously, he's been able to come in here and jumpstart everything. He's great on the penalty kill. That's probably one of the things that was hyped up about him when he first came to Pittsburgh, but I don't think a lot of people realize just how effective he's been on the penalty kill because of how strong that Kessel-Bonino-Hagelin line has been for the Pens this whole season, because he is a guy, if you watch him tonight on the penalty kill, he'll be hounding the puck carrier in the defensive end for the Rangers, when whoever it is, because I think the Penguins believe that with his speed, he can afford to go in deep and attack and make them feel uncomfortable, because if they are to get past him, he has the ability to turn on the Jets coming back and be right back in the play through the neutral zone and back into the Penguins' defensive end. But he's a guy that just relies on his legs so much, and they're so effective, and they've been such a boost for the Penguins, really, from the second he got here.
Finally, when you look at the Rangers, we've already talked about Lundqvist, so he's the key. We know that. But what are a couple of other areas where the Penguins are going to have to counter something they do?
Well, I think the Rangers are a team that, if you look up and down their lineup, they're pretty balanced. And that's even without Ryan McDonagh, who will not be playing tonight and is out. Elaine Vigneault said it'll be at some point in this series he could return, but I think it's a safe bet to say he'll probably miss the two games in Pittsburgh. Maybe he'll come back in New York. But even so, they're a strong team defensively. They always have been, even back when John Tortorella was coaching them. And when you have Lundqvist, obviously that helps with your defensive game. But the one thing with the Rangers that jumps out to me, and I'm going to be really watching closely in this series, I think, is their centerman, because they added Eric Staal. So now you have four really, really strong centers in New York in Derek Brassard, Derek Stepan, Eric Staal, and Dominic Moore. Four guys, especially Moore, a veteran guy, and Brassard led them in scoring. Stepan does so many things in all situations. And Staal, I mean, a proven Stanley Cup winner, one of the great players of the last decade in the National Hockey League, and a guy definitely to keep an eye on in this series, and is back in the playoffs now for the first time in 6 years after getting traded from Carolina. So he has a lot of motivation, a lot to play for as well. And, of course, playing with his brother, Mark, now right in New York after playing with his other brother, Jordan, in Carolina. But that's something that I think is going to be interesting to watch, because the Penguins have strong players down the middle, obviously Sidney Crosby, Nick Bonino, Matt Cullen, but Oscar Sundqvist is there in that fourth line center spot. And I know Mike Sullivan has had no problem putting him out there in big moments, and he's performed. But I'm curious to see how that translates to the postseason, because all four of those guys in the Rangers sweater have been in these situations and performed. And the Penguins are going to be put in some situations where they're going to have to go head-to-head with those guys and really compete. So I think down the middle is the one matchup that maybe isn't being talked about all that much, because there are so many storylines to this series, with it being the third straight year and with Carl Hagelin switching teams and obviously Lundqvist and then the Penguins and Rangers injury woes. But down the middle, I think, is going to play a big role in this series, mainly because the guys down the middle on both teams do so much, especially on the Ranger end. So I'll be very curious to watch that matchup as this series transpires.
Josh, always a pleasure. This is going to be a fun series, and appreciate the time very much.
No problem, Steve. We're really looking forward to it. It should be fun, as you said.
Josh Getzlaff from the Penguins Radio Network. Rangers and Pens. The premier series, really, the opening round. The Capitals Flyers will be interesting, but Pens and Rangers has a certain cachet to it. Next half hour, though, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Friday, tomorrow, the Phillies, by the way. Businessman special tomorrow with the Padres. So we'll be preempted for the Phillies tomorrow. Back on Friday with Bob Flounders from PennLive.com and the Patriot News on the Blue-White Game. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Need a new truck?
Sunbury Motors Ford says,
this is the time and this is the place.
SMC has 98 new 2016 Ford F-150s with savings up to $97.50. They start as low as $22,219. Choose from 47 2016 F Super Duty trucks that are equipped to do the best job of towing your camper, boat, or trailer. 2016 F-250 trucks are discounted up to $10,200 and are priced from just $32,279.
Sunbury Motors needs your truck trade-in,
and they're offering the absolute highest trade values during the month of April. If an SUV is in your future, SMC has 59 of the fuel-efficient 2016 Ford Escapes, and they're priced as low as $19,880. There's also 0% financing for up to 60 months on 2016 Ford Explorers, Expeditions, Escapes, and F-150s.
This is the time, and Sunbury Motors is the place to get your new truck.
SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA since 1915.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, as we transition back to college football next half hour. Bob Flounder's Patriot News and PennLive.com coming up on Friday's show. Tomorrow we'll have the Phillies for you and a businessman special, which will take up our time slot tomorrow. And it's great to have the Phillies on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Been a great addition, and the feedback we've had from the fan base so far has been tremendous. They love having baseball back on the air, and that has been a plus. And they've had some good moments. Aaron Nola, another great performance, and then Charlie Morton had a great performance, and they won 3-0 last night. And again, the key with Charlie is that, you know, avoid the one bad inning, and he's going to be okay.
It's getting that Cincinnati series out of the way. They've now won 3 out of their last 4.
Yeah, good point, Sean. Very good point. And, of course, the Padres were shut out 3 straight times by the Dodgers. So, okay. And then they'll... we've got more coming up next week. But then, really, we've had a few misses here with the show because of the Phillies. And now, again, the reason we do that. But it's going to get fewer and fewer. There'll be some businessman specials here and there. But this is what, maybe 3 shows a month we're going to miss, max, something like that, which is just fine. Just fine. And Sean went out, bought himself a whole new set of clubs. Bought a set of Cobras. Said he'd never used a gap wedge before. Now, over at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, they refer to Sean as the master of the gap wedge. So if you're asking, what have the Phillies done for us? Well, it's great programming, and it's made Sean Carey a better golfer. What are you laughing about?
He caught me.
Whoa. Why is Wakeman laughing? Wakeman's going to the U.S. Open, and so are we. We're going to go down to Oakmont, spend some time with Jack. I don't mean Nicholas, I mean Ham. Ham's good. By the way, Jack Ham, just so you know, you would expect him to be a really good golfer. He is. But the swing doctor is Ron Mueller.